There was once an atheist, a Catholic, and a Jewish man who were discussing their various attitudes toward giving charity. "If money comes my way," explained the atheist, "I view it as mine and keep it unless I feel like giving it away." "In my case," said the Catholic, "I believe that one has to be righteous with one's possessions. Therefore, out of all the money that comes to me, I set aside half for myself and give half to God." "As for me," said the Jewish man, "I feel that I owe everything to God. So when some money comes my way, I immediately toss it all up to the heavens. Naturally, any money that God does not grab for himself, I get to keep." We have been taking a little break from our series on Paul's letter to the Romans to lay a foundation in our community in the area of giving tzedakah. Over the past 2.5 years, I've only given one message on the subject prior to this series. So this is really the first time that we have discussed the issue in some depth as a community. As a recap of what we have discussed in the last 2 sermons on tzedakah, I shared that giving tzedakah is an expression of the biblical mindset that everything we have is from God and for God. Giving tzedakah is all about investing the financial resources the Lord has given us. We are Hashem's stockbrokers, and our goal should be to hear him say to us one day, "Kol hakavod, well done, good and faithful servant, in how you have invested the financial resources I gave you." We pointed out that giving tzedakah spiritually transforms us. Like teshuva and tefillah, repentance and prayer, giving tzedakah makes us more noble individuals. Why is this? It is because when we give tzedakah, we are making a declaration before God that we are not the center of the universe, but he is. Giving tzedakah moves us out of the realm of being self-centered, self-seeking, self-serving, self-interested, self-absorbed, self-aggrandizing, and moves us into the place of being selfless, self-sacrificing, compassionate, generous, open-handed, charitable, and benevolent. Like the biggest tzedakah giver of them all, the God of Israel and his Messiah, Yeshua. We have talked about how giving tzedakah is ultimately an act of worship, as our Torah portion today affirms over and over, and how it should be done with a whole heart, a heart prompted to give. When we come into the presence of the Melech HaMelechim, the King of Kings, we do not come empty-handed, but we bring a gift. We have also talked about how giving tzedakah strengthens our prayers. We learned that Rabbi Elazar regularly gave tzedakah before praying. And, you know, last week someone came up to me and showed me a whole roll of pennies, I think it was. Maybe it was quarters. And what the person wanted to show me was that before they prayed that previous week, before they prayed, they put a quarter or a penny into the roll as a way of just giving a little bit of tzedakah before they prayed. And then they were going to give the roll to Tikvat Israel as their expression of tzedakah. We learned that Rabbi Elazar did just that. He gave tzedakah before praying. And we took note of the words of the angel who said to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse 4, "Your prayers," he said to Cornelius, "your prayers and your acts of tzedakah have gone up into God's presence so that he has you on your mind, on his mind. He has you on his mind." What was it that caused Cornelius to be noticed by the Lord, even to the point that Hashem sent his angel to command him and bless him. The angel tells us what he did that touched God's heart. Cornelius prayed and gave tzedakah. Today, I would like to build on this foundation and share with you another insight that I learned this week about tzedakah. And that is, give and it will be given to you. In Hebrew, tenu v'tinaten lachem. One of the most clear and impacting passages in the Bible on this subject is Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Here, Hashem says to Israel, he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says Adonai Tzevaot, the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Eugene Peterson, in his work, The Message, offers the following paraphrase of Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Here, the Lord says in Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, test me in this, and see if I don't open up heaven itself to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams. I think Peterson's paraphrase really gets across what the Lord is trying to say here in Malachi chapter 3. The context of the passage is that Israel had been giving only part of their tithes to the Lord. We know this from verse 9, where the Lord says, you are robbing me, and from the use of the Hebrew word kol, which means all or whole, in verse 10. The Lord does not say, havi'u et hama'aser, bring the tithe. He says, havi'u et kol hama'aser, bring the whole tithe, bring the entire tithe, not half the tithe, not a quarter of the tithe, but the whole tithe, kol hama'aser. Israel was bringing only part of their tithes to the Lord. And instead of the Lord saying, don't worry about it, it's not a big deal, I completely understand your situation, the Lord called them on it and tried to communicate that tithing is an important part of spiritual life. Like reading the Bible or keeping the Shabbat, it is a spiritual discipline that comes with a blessing. Practicing generosity and giving tzedakah helps us to grow more mature as sons and daughters of God. As we said last week, Judaism is a religion of pots and pans. Every aspect of our lives should reflect our worship of Hashem. Here in Malachi chapter 3, the Lord speaks as a loving and compassionate Father in heaven. Rather than obliterating us for our unfaithfulness, he rebukes us in love, as the proverb says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. And he tries to win us over to walk in his ways by providing an incentive. Isn't that what a good father does to motivate his children? To provide incentives for good behavior, for doing what is right? When I was an assistant principal and teacher at a K-12 Messianic Jewish day school, I would encourage parents to give their children incentives or rewards for getting good grades. I remember that I had one student whose parents promised her a sports car if she got straight A's every year in high school. That really motivated her, and she got her car. In the same way, our Father in heaven provides us with an incentive to motivate us to be faithful in the giving of tzedakah. He says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven, and what does it go on to say together? Pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Hashem is saying that if we give a whole tithe with a whole heart, then we can expect blessings beyond our wildest dreams. The Lord goes so far as to say in verse 10, Uvechanuni na bazot, test me in this. Hashem's challenge is all the more surprising, because in the Torah we are told again and again not to test the Lord. For example, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16 commands us, do not test Adonai your God. These are the very words that Yeshua quotes to the diabolos, the devil, literally the slanderer, in Matthew chapter 4. After he tells Yeshua to test the Lord by jumping off the highest point of the temple, for surely God will rescue him, he said. So which is it? Should we test the Lord, as Malachi 3 says, or not test the Lord, as Deuteronomy 6 says? Our rabbis, of course, debated this question in light of these passages and concluded that tithing is the one exception to this rule. And why is it? It is because the Lord himself says in Malachi chapter 3, test me in this. And only the Lord can provide an exception to his commandment. Some of our sages point out that Hashem's commandment to open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it does not necessarily mean that his blessings will always come in the form of finances. Rabbi Tzvi Spitz of Jerusalem asked Rav Eliashiv, how do we explain the fact that so many people are meticulous with tithing, yet they have not been blessed with material wealth? The great Rav answered, there are many different types of wealth other than financial prosperity. Some people are rewarded with a great deal of nachas from their children. Others experience an abundance of energy and robust health. All of these may be considered as a reward for the mitzvah of ma'aser, the mitzvah of tithing. At the same time, there is much precedent in scripture and Jewish tradition that giving a whole tithe with a whole heart often does lead to financial blessing from the Lord. For example, after Jacob leaves his father's tent, he has a dream in which he sees the Lord at the top of a stairway to heaven. And the Lord expresses his desire to bless Jacob abundantly. After Jacob wakes up from the dream, he makes a vow to the Lord, and he says in Genesis chapter 28, verse 22, he says, of all that you give me, O God, I will give you a tenth. That was Jacob's vow to the Lord. Then immediately following this, we are told in Genesis 29, Genesis 30, Genesis 31, Genesis 32, and Genesis 33, a full five chapters of the Torah, how the Lord blessed Jacob financially, even to the extent that he did not have enough room for all these blessings. Is it a coincidence that all these blessings followed Jacob's commitment, his vow to tithe, in Genesis 28? I don't think it's a coincidence. Rather, I would suggest for our consideration that the pattern of Jacob's life, his vow to tithe, and then his experience of blessing is a model for all of us to follow. And it is probably a model that Jacob learned from his grandfather Abraham, who also gave a tenth to the Lord. What exactly is the fundamental spiritual principle here that Jacob experienced? Yeshua articulates it in the following way in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Let's all say it together. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8 and verse 11. Let's all say this one together as well. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. The principle articulated by our Messiah and his Shaliach, Paul, is that giving tzedakah results in receiving tzedakah from heaven. In Jewish thought, every morning we are supposed to say the first blessing of the Shema, where we refer to our Father in heaven as Zorea Tzedakot, he who sows the seeds of charitable deeds. The imagery here in Jewish thought is that our tithes and offerings and other gifts of tzedakah are like seeds that Hashem plants in his heavenly garden of Eden. These seeds then grow up to produce tzedakah trees. Isn't that beautiful? Tzedakah trees that flourish and yield their fruit of tzedakah in season. This fruit then drops off from the tzedakah trees into our lives in the form of God's blessings. Isn't this an amazingly beautiful picture of how our tzedakah, our giving charity to the Lord, results in tzedakah falling back upon us from heaven? Sometimes it might even drop on our heads. In all our financial endeavors, we should think of ourselves as taking Hashem as our business partner. Rabbi Avraham Chaim Feher tells us, in the early part of the 20th century, there was a very wealthy Jewish philanthropist living in New York City whose name was Harry Fischel. Mr. Fischel made his fortune in Manhattan real estate and distributed vast sums to tzedakah. Whenever anyone asked him the secret of his success, Mr. Fischel was only too eager to share his secret formula. He would say, "I left Eastern Europe as a penniless young man, but before I embarked upon my long journey to America, I went to Radin to receive the blessing of the Chafetz Chaim. The holy man said to me, 'If you want to succeed in business, you must take God himself as your partner in every endeavor. Before you enter into any investment or project, try to make an accurate estimate of how much profit you stand to make in the undertaking. Then calculate how much the tithe of your projected profit will be and write a check for that amount to be eventually deposited in your tzedakah account. Turn to Hashem in fervent prayer and say, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, it is my privilege to invite you to be my partner in this endeavor. However, if I successfully realize my anticipated profit, then 10% I have set aside for tzedakah, It is all yours. When one takes God as his partner from the outset, he is guaranteed success. This is what Mr. Fischel learned. A 21st century example of a person who lives out this way of life is Mr. Do-Won Chang, the Korean founder and CEO of Forever 21. About 5.5 years ago, Harumi and I had the pleasure of traveling to Israel with Mr. and Mrs. Chang, and we spent several weeks with them in the Holy Land. We learned during this time that Mr. and Mrs. Chang adopted an approach to their business that was very similar to Harry Fischel's outlook. They viewed the Lord as their business partner. However, instead of giving 10% of their income to the Lord, as Harry Fischel did, what the Changs do is they keep 10% for their personal use and they give 90% to the Lord. I think we can say that Mr. and Mrs. Chang have experienced the reality of God's promise in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. The fact is that Forever 21 stores are in almost every shopping mall in the country. They are billionaires and have more money than they know what to do with. And yet they give 90% of what they receive to tzedakah. And by the way, they are also very strong supporters of the Messianic Jewish community. But even if we do not see an immediate financial blessing after giving our whole tithe to the Lord with a whole heart, we can be certain that we will experience great blessing from the Lord in other ways, as Rav Eliashiv reminded us, including blessing in the world to come. The Talmud tells us the story of King Munbaz, a Gentile ruler of Adiabene, who became a convert to Judaism in the first century CE, around the time of Yeshua. In fact, it's possible that during the pilgrimage festivals of Passover and Shavuot and Sukkot, that King Munbaz was traveling to Jerusalem at the same time that Yeshua was traveling to the temple. King Munbaz distributed his entire royal treasury to the poor, and he and his mother, Queen Helena, who also converted to Judaism, gave large gifts for the building up of the house of God in Jerusalem. His family said to him, "Your fathers kept adding to the treasures that their fathers had amassed, but you did the opposite. You squandered away your own wealth and the fortunes amassed by your fathers." King Munbaz replied, "My fathers hoarded treasures below on the earth, but by giving charity, I have stored treasures in heaven above. My fathers stored their treasures in a place where others could take it from them, but I stored my treasures in a safe place where no human hand can reach. My fathers stored treasures of money, but I stored treasures of souls. My fathers stored treasures for others, but I stored treasures for myself. My fathers stored treasures for this world, but I stored treasures for the world to come." King Munbaz understood the biblical principle, "Give, and it will be given to you. Tenu v'tinaten lachem." Or to put it another way, "Whoever sows generously will reap generously." I encourage all of us here this morning to test the Lord in this. Let us test him this week, next week, and all the days of our lives. The word of the Lord is as good as gold. If he says that we should bring the whole tithe, kol hamaaser, into the storehouse, and we will then experience blessings beyond our wildest dreams, like Jacob did, then we can count on him to make this happen. Give, and it will be given to you. Let's pray.